Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
If you remember, like if you were a kid who grew up in the area, you probably do remember going to the G.I. Joe's sports chain in our state. Norm Daniels went from being a stock boy at a G.I. Joe's to becoming one of the pillars of sports in our state and owning and running that operation for years. Our next guest, Jeff Sanders of Jeff Sanders Promotions, who has put on a whole bunch of events and had his hands in a lot of sports and business things that have gone on and gone successfully in this state, is joining us to talk about the contributions of Norm Daniels. Jeff, thanks for making time for us. Can you help us? Can you help people who didn't really know Norm Daniels to understand sort of what he represented?
Well, thanks, John. Norm Daniels represented Portland. He supported every college, every pro sport, every amateur team, every charity. Norm Daniels was a giver, John. He was a go-go guy. He was let's go. He was super positive. He had a big smile. He was contagious. He wanted to help other people. You know, his story goes back, as you know, as you said, stock boy. But you know, he grew up in St. John's, and he went to Roosevelt. And I think he's always been sort of the star of St. John's over the years. But for me, he was my very first client. In 1989, Norm called me, and we got together, and I was just starting my new company, and he was my very first client, very first sponsor. So we ran some golf tournaments for him and some indoor soccer and some college basketball, sold some car racing. And over the years, I got to know Norm as a friend and as a mentor. When my father passed away in 2001, Norm really became sort of my second father. And but as far as Norm Daniels goes, I mean, everything was a go. In other words, if somebody came to him and had an idea, let's do it. Yeah, the answer is yes. What's your question? Let's go. And he just cared so much about it. He told me one time, he said, if it's got Portland's name in it, we're going to sponsor it. We're going to support it. Trailblazers, back in the football days, we had the professional football team here. Of course, PSU Athletics, there's nobody that's been a bigger supporter than Norm Daniels at PSU. I remember he had a hand in bringing in Jerry Lanville. Timmy Walsh loved him. Norm was a guy that just, he had more energy and more enthusiasm than anybody I've ever met. And it's such a sad day to have him go at such an early age of 72 years old.
I was looking at sort of the empire, 31 stores around the Northwest. He helped launch Portland International Raceway. He certainly, as you mentioned, a big supporter of Portland State Athletics and a lot of other things. 1,600 employees. That, you know, that was at a sweet time. What was it like to kind of be that time, this city, that entity?
Well, I don't think any company or person really over the years, at least in my lifetime, is again, done more for the community, done more for Portland. G.I. Joe's was a big deal. I mean, every place you went, you saw G.I. Joe's. Norm made sure of it. That the car races, like you say, Budweiser G.I. Joe's 200 days. You know, as Bob Ames, Mike Neely can tell you, I mean, that event was world-class. It was the biggest sporting event in Oregon every year. You should draw a couple hundred thousand race fans to PIR. But Norm Daniels was behind it, right? He was always behind the things back then that really, well, a lot of people said, well, how many stores did G.I. Joe's have? Only 31 stores? You take a Fred Meyer, had 125. You take another grocery store chain, might have had three times that. G.I. Joe's had 1,600 employees, but 31 stores, but they looked so much bigger, much bigger, because they were everywhere, John. They were everywhere because of Norm Daniels. He made sure of it.
We're talking to Jeff Sanders, Jeff Sanders Promotions, and you've been at this a long time, Jeff, at a high level, and, that in that era, it feels like Norm was like a little bit of a gunslinger. Like, you got a big idea. He's visionary in that way. Yeah. I think we could all learn something from that. You know, he wasn't afraid to take chances. He wasn't afraid to dream big and make big plans.
He wasn't. Norm was a gunslinger. You know, it's interesting. That's a great way to put it, John. Couldn't be said better. Go out to Columbia Edgewater Country Club sometime and ask the guys out there when they used to play golf with Norman how he played the last hole with all the chips on the line. He usually made at least a par, and he was a 15 handicap. I mean, Norm Daniels was a gunslinger. He was a maverick. He was a, again, let's do it. Bring Norm a big idea. He'll make it bigger. I mean, let's go. And I can't emphasize that enough because so many people these days won't take that risk. They won't see, they won't have the vision that Norm Daniels had. And that's why he went from sock boy to CEO to owner to the, you know, to the Grand Marshal parade, you know, Grand Marshal, the Rose Festival parade, and everything else that he did. But, you know, he never did it for Norm, really. He had no ego. He did it for Portland. He did it for the charities. He was a huge supporter of children's cancer and cancer, the charities in town that supported cancer, and lots of others. I remember back in the day, we used to give a lot of money through our events to March of Dimes. He believed in taking care of the kids, taking care of the babies. And, you know, again, but if you want to go play him, he was competitive. I'll tell you what, he could throw a club about as well as anybody, even though he didn't do it. He didn't throw it very far. but he didn't like losing. He didn't like losing at all, which I loved about him. And so we used to meet, you know, at Paragon before it became the Star Pizza Place in Pearl. We used to meet whenever I'm home. I'm gone a lot, but whenever I'm in Portland, we used to meet and have dinners. And to be honest with you, Norm loved that great bottle of red Cabernet. I mean, I always brought one with me because I knew he loved it. And we'd sit there and we'd talk about what was going on. And, you know, he had to get busy after he sold G.I. Joe's. He had to get busy. And it was a challenge for him because he had so much energy, wanted to give so much. And so he started driving his own race car, and he bought a ranch in eastern Oregon. He bought a beach house in Cannon Beach. And he always was one of the, you know, one of two or three places. And then he spent a lot of time in Mexico. But he was so busy and so full of energy, John, that it was hard for him in the beginning when he first had to let go of Joe's. And because that was his life. You know, he drove from Vancouver, Washington to Wilsonville every day back and forth to the corporate office out in Wilsonville. Long drive. But he was, you know, when we took over the Safeway Open PGA Tour event in Napa, he was the first guy to call me. He was the first guy to show up down there and support me in that tournament. He always was there. You know, and I remember when my father passed away, I can still see Norman Rickey sitting there up at Sunset Hills up there where my father was laid to rest. And who was sitting there? Norm Daniels or Rickey Daniels. I mean, you just can't say enough great things about Norm Daniels. He was just a one of one, a true champion, John.
We're talking to Jeff Sanders, who runs Jeff Sanders Promotions, among other things, and is promoted and been involved in a lot of successful golf events and business events. And again, we're talking about Norm Daniels, who went from a 16-year-old stock boy to the CEO of G.I. Joe's. He passed away Friday at the age of 72. Jeff, you brought up the sale of G.I. Joe's, and I was here when that happened, and I know a lot of people were disappointed and nervous when it happened. It went to a equity company in San Francisco that bought controlling interest in 2007, and sure enough, 2 years later, they just drove it into the side of a mountain. That had to bother Norm, because he must have loved G.I. Joe's.
It did bother Norm. It bothered Norm a lot. They changed the name of the company to Joe's Sports Outdoor Sports Finado or something like that. Like, people didn't know what was inside of a Joe's store. Of course you knew what was inside of a Joe's store. You need to put it on the front of the banner on the front of the store. And they didn't utilize Norm. They didn't utilize him. And I know that hurt him. It bothered me. It bothered me a lot. Hal Smith came in as a CEO. Hal was a nice guy, but I would have told Hal, you know, Norm Daniels is here. You know, he'll work with you. And I just think that unfortunately, when Norm left, the spirit left, and they tried to do things much differently, kind of change the model of the Joe's stores, and that was their demise. And you know, when you buy a business, I think what you do is you take what's great about it and you keep it, and you fix the things that you can make better, and you polish it, and you keep going. But you don't make big changes, and I think that's the lesson there, John, to be honest. And it did hurt Norm a lot, and it was hard for him. But he ended up, taking care of people. Like you said, he got up to 1,600 employees. Nobody would have given him, you know, nobody would have given him $10 to take that bet. But he got it going. He did all he could. I feel like he took a small company and made it big, and not just big financially, but big in our community. And supported everybody as much as he could, and gave more back than any, in my opinion, retailer. Fred Meyer's awfully good. got to say. Fred Meyer's amazing. And those two, G.I. Joe's and Fred Meyer, were competitors in some ways in those stores. And so because Joe's sold some things that were also on for sale at Fred Meyer. But I remember Fred Meyer, the CEOs there that I knew, had great respect for Norm, and he had great respect for them. As a matter of fact, another great friend of ours, Norm Meir, who passed away last year, was Fred Meyer, and ended up becoming a right-arm person to Norm Daniels at Joe's. And so those two companies have been amazing in our community, but I got to say, Norm Daniels as a person, as a leader, as a businessman, as a friend, a mentor, a father, just unbelievable, John. You can't say enough. There's not enough words to describe how great this guy was.
Yeah, I watched Shark Tank, and I think the last thing any of the sharks would have done is come in and invest in G.I. Joe's and go, let's change the name. Let's get rid of the heart and soul of this place by having Norm not be involved in it. I mean, it's just everything that's wrong. You took all the good things and you pushed them to the side, right. And that's a recipe for bankruptcy, if I've seen one. Jeff, let me ask you, because you're so tuned in to events and what's going on around the country as we see a vaccine on the horizon. What is your forecast for events nationally, sporting events and business events?
Well, it's been really tough. I mean, we ran 5 golf tournaments in 2020 and on the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour, and we ended up having to cancel the pro-ams and the fans for all of our events other than the Portland Open, the Winco Foods Portland Open. But it's really a challenge. And I'm down here right now in La Quinta, California, running the American Express, which used to be the Bob Hope. And we just 2 days ago had to cancel the pro-am portion and the fans here. And I'm very worried about it, John, because at the end of the day, if you're a global company, television will be, will get you through this because you'll get global exposure to your brand around the world. If you're a regional company, like we're talking about, a Fred Meyer, a G.I. Joe's, TV's not going to work long term. TV doesn't get you by because Fred Meyer has stores in just so many states and G.I. Joe's had stores in so many states. So you don't get the value out of television. So I worry that this vaccine's got to work. It's got to get out there and it's got to get people to be able to attend events again. And from an economic situation, it doesn't matter if it's a golf event, a football, baseball, basketball game. It doesn't matter if it's college, high school, or pro. You've got to have fans and you've got to have sponsors. And right now, this model, the way it's going, where it's just basically TV, if there is TV, and of course, if there isn't, it's an empty gym. I mean, it doesn't work long term, John. It's very scary. It's very, very scary. And so, everybody in the event business, no matter what sport you're in, musical festivals, concerts, anything where you were shoulder to shoulder, whether you're sitting in a seat at the Rose Garden or you're standing at a concert after a golf tournament, like we had Stevie Nicks and Luke Bryan down here last year after each round, we couldn't have it this year because we had 30,000 people here and they were shoulder to shoulder. Well, even if you had 1,000 people, John, it wouldn't work because they'd just be closer to the stage and they'd still be shoulder to shoulder. So this is economically, it's a really big problem. And I think that once we get by it, the answer is once we get by it, and let's pray to God it's sometime this coming summer, then I think the pent-up demand for attending sports, entertainment, musical festivals is going to be through the roof. But we just have to get past it, and we got to get past it as soon as possible because it's not sustainable, right? It's not sustainable without the revenues from your fans and your sponsors and the food and beverage sales and the parking and the merchandise. All that stuff is attached to fans, to spectators. And boy, it's getting very worrisome. And I think the PGA Tour has done a fantastic job. I know other sports have too, of bridging the gap here. But boy, it's a gap that needs to be bridged quickly because otherwise we're going to have some major problems. It's no different than the restaurant business. I love going to dinner, great restaurants, and look what's happened there. So it's all about the vaccine. It's all about people taking the vaccine once it's available, and then opening this thing back up. So we're planning. We're running this event down here in 2 weeks, and then we're going to probably run another one later in the summer. But it's changed a lot, and so basically we've got to get this vaccine in people's arms so that we can get back to some sense of normalcy here. So people can get back going to events and going to dinner. And but the vaccine is huge, and the economics attached to it in our business is critical right now. Critical.
We're talking to Jeff Sanders. Jeff Sanders Promotions. Jeff, the you know, I've always looked at the spring with the vaccine, and then maybe the summer, and then I kind of look at the fall and go, okay, by fall, college football season, like to see some fans back in the building and everybody feeling safe about it. Are you looking at second, third, fourth quarter of this year, or where is kind of the target for you?
I think end of the third, end of the fourth, to be honest with you. And the issue with that is people, like I had some people say to me down here, they said, well, hey, Jeff, you know, now that this vaccine's come out, you can still have your concerts after golf and you can have fans. And I said, well, not really, because remember this, in order to prepare for an event, you need about 3 months at a minimum to be able to make decisions, John, to where you can say, okay, bring in the stage, let's order it up, and let's you know, put a down payment down on it. Let's get all these, you know, these bleachers, let's get these sky boxes set. In other words, you got to lay out a lot of money in advance, and you got to make a plan. And if it doesn't work, you know what'll happen? You're upside down. Speaking of bankruptcy, so the point is that you don't. It's we need time to know. Let's say we know in June that we can have a major golf event in Napa, California in September. We can get that done. If we know in July, we can probably get that done. But any later than that, we can't, because we can't put up, we can't order everything, get it all in there, you know, in time to be able to know that we're going to actually be able to use it. What if what if all of a sudden the health and safety regulations change, and they say, "Gee, sorry, you can't have the fans and the sponsors now playing the pro-am." Well, everything's all set up, and now you've got a huge economic problem again. So. It's about targeting when you can do the events, and let's say it is end of the third, end of the fourth quarter, but you got to know sooner than that to prepare for these events economically. Yeah,
amen.
That's a challenge for this year, buddy.
Amen. Jeff Sanders, I appreciate you coming on to talk about Norm Daniels and so much more, and I appreciate you making time for us. Thank you, Jeff.
John, thanks for having me, and rest in peace, my friend Norm Daniels. Rest in peace.
There he is, Jeff Sanders. Good outlook on both events for the year and also a tent pole. When you talk about Mount Rushmore in the state of Oregon for sports, you certainly would include Harry Glickman, who we lost in 2020, and Norm Daniels, who passed away on Friday, among those who were just legendary planners, guys who employed a lot of people and dreamed big. Leave it here. You got the BFT. Every day on the show, we do our Big Splash. It's the one thing that you absolutely need to know.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, it's Alabama and Ohio State. Game on tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific in Florida. Number 3 seed, Ohio State, 7-0 against number 1 seed, Alabama, 12-0. Alabama's got the Heisman Trophy winner. Ohio State's got a ton of momentum. I think it's going to be a hell of a football game. I think it'll be high scoring. I think that you've got a couple of interesting matchups here. Ohio State's offense against Alabama's defense. And oh, by the way, Alabama's great passing offense against Ohio State's struggling secondary. Those two matchups and the winner of those two things probably determines the outcome of this game. Gun to my head, I'll take Ohio State in points only because I think this game is in the 40s. Both teams in the 40s. I think it's close. I think there's very little defense to be seen. I don't think Alabama's going to stop Ohio State. I just think if they beat them, they outscore them by a little bit. It's the one thing they need to know. It's happening today. It's going to be a hell of a game. I want to go to Zach on this one. This your sort of outlook or your prediction on this game, the point spread of this game, and you looking at the outcome of Ohio State and Alabama, has it shifted at all in the last week, Nick, Zach?
You know what, John? It has shifted just a little bit for me. I remember last week I was leaning on Ohio State plus the 7.5. I've seen the number sort of go in Alabama's direction. I think a little bit of it has to do with Steve Sarkisian and, you know, him going over to Texas. Another part of it is Jaylen Waddle now is expected to play in the game. He'll at least be out there for warmups. And I just think with Alabama out there, with Devonta Smith and Jaylen Waddle, and you got the other guys out there as playmakers as well, with Najee Harris in the backfield, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for Ohio State, as well as Justin Fields played in that game against Clemson. I think Alabama will eventually pull away in this game and cover the 8.5.
I think Ohio State, the front seven at Ohio State, will be a huge key. They've got to get to Alabama's passing game and disrupt things. I think the secondary for Ohio State, a lot of people who know football are concerned about the secondary at Ohio State stopping Alabama. I think they'll play it pretty safe. I think we'll see a lot of three deep. Let's keep people in front of us. But I think they'll try to disrupt Alabama and that passing attack of Alabama by trying to get some pressure on the quarterback. That front seven Ohio State's pretty good. The other four...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.